You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Is My Club this week, we have all the reactions and interviews from Saturday's crucial home encounter with Hereford.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be heading over to Broadhurst Park on Saturday afternoon to hear if Renault's Reds could get a vital 3 points against Hereford. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week in winning ways as FC United's women's team kept up their undefeated streak with an emphatic 7-0 win over Sir Tom Finney FC on Sunday afternoon, with 5 goals coming from striker Amy O'Keefe. Here's manager Luke Podmore speaking with Neil Boo shortly after the full-time whistle.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore on another terrific, although drizzly and dismal day, but a terrific result, 7-0 against Tom Finney. We're really adding to our prowess in front of keeping clean sheets and smacking them away.
Yeah, again, more of the same from the team, really. Had to set up very well today. It was tough conditions, as you said, and the pitch was heavy. You know, the conditions were tough, but, you know, they took it all in the stride and, you know, we've come away with 7 goals and a clean sheet again, further extending the record. So really, really pleased today.
Yeah, today was a day where, although she'd been threatening for quite a while, Amy O'Keefe really unleashed herself on the opposition with 5 well-taken goals.
Yeah, really good, yeah. You know, it's brilliant to see Amy, you know, contribute that amount of goals to the team. You know, goals is what we need at the moment, so the fact that, you know, we're chipping in now from elsewhere is great. You know, in the past we've relied heavily on certain players to score goals for us, and it's nice to see now that other people are chipping in, and yeah, it was a great all-round team performance today, and, you know, I'm really, really proud of the group.
Well, I reckon that with the 7 clean sheets now is 701 minutes since our last goal against us, which was against Accrington Stanley away. I mean, even if they reinstate the Merseyrail game, we've still gone 6 now, which would still be a record. I mean, that does it. Do you want to win 1-0? Do you want to win 7-0? I mean, is 7-6? I mean, which bit gets most sort of like pleasure for you?
Yeah, the clean sheet is by far. You know, I'd rather win a game 1-0 than 8-5, absolutely all day long. I just feel like it gives you that invincibility feeling, that feeling that no one gets anything from you at all. You know, a lot of teams win games. It's about how you win games. And if you win games by shutting out the opposition at the other end, also then just demotivates them as well the next time around. They've got nothing to go off. They've got nothing to build on. Oh, yeah, you know, we scored 4 last time, scored. If they've got 0 is the worst number for me in a team. So if you can keep the other team down to 0 in anything, as much as you can, yeah, not only does it do you well for your own team, it really, really demotivates the other team because they've got nothing to pull from the result at all.
No, I mean, like, it was 1-0 last week, and although you don't get a lot of, the strikers getting in the mode of sort of like just regularly slotting them away. I mean, obviously, like Amy did today, but like you say, once you give the opposition nothing, they don't know where to go next time.
Yeah, and that's brilliant. You know, when they come to ours next time, they'll be thinking, you know, 7-0, looking back at the result, what can they pull from it? What positives can they pull from it? If they scored a goal, they might be able to say, well, you know, look, we scored 1 goal. But yeah, it really, really just really puts you as to the forefront, really, and gives you that motivation to, you know, to do well. And for our team as well, you know, the fact that no one's scoring against them gives them a lot of confidence as well.
So are we back at home next week?
In the stadium next week. It's cup action, I think, in next week, so Penrith.
Right, yeah.
So it'll be good to see our old, you know, last time we played them, we had a really good result, but, you know, they come up a level the same as us, so we've got to be mindful of that. We've got to make sure we're on it, and, you know, it's a cup football, so again, goalposts change a little bit and people play a little bit differently, so we've got to have our wits about us.
Yes, but let's hope we can repeat the 11-0 we did get against them last year. I mean, that'll be another nil, which we want, but more important, just getting through to the next round.
Absolutely.
Will be what we need.
Okay, yeah,
thanks very much,
Luke. Thanks, Neil.
Next up for the women's team will be a home match in the main stadium this Sunday against Penrith in the Argyle Cup, 2 p.m. kickoff. In other news, and the club's weekly girls football session will be taking place at Broadhurst Park this Wednesday, 5 p.m. till 6 p.m. Girls aged between 5 and 11 are welcome, and it's £2 per session. For more information, please get in touch with @TomConroy9 either on Twitter or via his email on tom.conroy@fc-utd.net. And finally, the club last week announced the departure of right-back Joel Senior, who has gone on to sign for Curzon Ashton. For more news on this, Ben caught up with manager Neil Reynolds on Friday evening.
You know, Joel just found himself out the team due to the form of Danny Morton, and then he came back in against Stockport, and then there was he missed the Boston game, and you know, things we've been coming to, and he missed an Altrincham game, and I just felt that, you know, when you look around at the bench and Joel being a defender, you know, we already have Zed on the bench last week, and it was kind of like Joel couldn't find himself into the team, so he's been great. He just wants to go and play football, and I said the way he's done it the right way, and he certainly hasn't closed the door on FC United. But, you know, he just said at my age or his age, he just wants to go and play. So, you know, we made it as easy as possible for him. We didn't insist on the 7 days. I spoke to Mark Bradshaw and, you know, I gave Mark permission to speak to Joel. And away it went, and he got tied up in, you know, that same evening. So he goes with all our wishes. And I know that, you know, he'll miss the place, and he's got fond memories, and he hopes to stay up. But, you know, he's gone to go and play his football at Curzon. So, you know, all the best to him.
And sticking with the Tameside theme, an interesting result midweek, Ashton United losing their game in hand. So we know what we've got between ourselves and Ashton United as we head into this weekend. It's 4 points the gap. To Guiseley, it's 7 points. To Hereford, it's 9 points. Now, this is a big game tomorrow, and and you should just put all these interviews on repeat, in all fairness. Yeah. I mean, how's the mood in the squad been this week after the Southport performance?
It's been great. I mean, the mood in the camp's been great for the last few weeks. You know, even when we lost back to back, you know, the 3-2-1 defeats, we could feel it coming. And then, like I said, the Geyser game was huge for me because, you know, being 3-1 down and, you know, 20 minutes to go to pull it back, and then to go to Southport last week, and I didn't realise until I listened to Liam Watson's interview that, you know, that Southport have only lost 3 in 22 games now. You know, they're a real form team, and, you know, they've made Hague Avenue a fortress, and the last time they played before us, they put 5 past Chorley. So for us to go there and, you know, and keep a clean sheet but also create chances was really pleasing. As for Hereford tomorrow, you know, we've trained all week. We know all about them. I'm having everybody watch now, getting detailed reports. We know everything about them. But it's about us. You know, it's exciting, isn't it? You've just rhymed off the points tally that people are in and around us. We know what we've got to do. You know, we know these 10 games are huge. And we know that we can't underperform in any of them if we want a realistic chance of staying in the league. But I've said we will stay in the league, and I firmly believe that, and so does the squad. So, you know, although Hereford were very tricky tomorrow, I'm confident that we can go and do the job and then look forward to the next game. But we can't take anything for granted, because we can't run out of games, and unless we, you know, capitalise tomorrow, then the job becomes even more difficult.
And how's the squad shaping up for tomorrow?
Great. First time I'm going to say this, I think, this season, no changes. No ins, no outs. So the same 16 that went to Southport last week will report tomorrow. And I feel that they deserve that chance to do that. So, you know, that togetherness, that trust, that bonding is going to be vital. So, you know, we've tweaked different things as the week's gone on because of we know about Hereford. But there won't be too many changes, if any, tomorrow. And, you know, we're just looking forward to the game. Everyone in the camp's looking forward to the game. You know, yes, there's going to be nerves. Yes, you know, everybody's billing it as another biggest game of the season. And I just think every game is the biggest game of the season. But do you know what, Ben? I think there's a bit of optimism around the ground now. And I spoke to some fans last week after the game. And, you know, is it just me? Is it just the players that believe it? And I think now the fans are believing it, that if we can go and beat Hereford tomorrow, then with nine games to go, who knows what could happen. But say if we pull this off, it could be the greatest achievement. Certainly in my career, but in a lot of people's careers, because I think, you know, when you look at it, you kind of, people think you're down and out, but we're not down and out. We're still fighting, and, you know, we're desperate to go and put a performance on tomorrow and get 3 points.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football action now, and FC United hosted fellow relegation battling Hereford at Broadhurst Park. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. We should say today's match is also sponsored by Space 48, space48.com, for all your designing, building and growing e-commerce needs. Thank you.
I've had an issue with them.
Swamp is here. Emily Maguire's here as well.
Hello.
The A team. And it's a big game. Big, big game today, Swamper. Big. Some people would even describe it so big, you can't really describe how big it is. Give it a go. Go on. How big is it?
It's just another game of football, Ben, in fairness. I mean, you know, I think what you need to do is just think of it like that. And by the end of play, we'll know whether it was big or not. At this moment in time, it's quite small. It could get slightly bigger. It could end up being huge. It could be bigger than the biggest thing on the day of big. But we'll see. How big do you think it is, Emily?
As a fan, I'm sure it'll be massive. But as a professional, it's a game. They have to go out there, 90 minutes of good football in front of us.
Yeah. I think it's actually, it's pretty more important that we provide and perform today.
Team news. Well, we hope you've calmed your nerves at home anyway, dear listener at home.
It's just a game.
And you know, up or down, it's all football at the end of the day, isn't it? So, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Same team as last week. Thank you. That was team news.
Oh, you've done well there, Ben. I've got to say, this broadcast so far, I reckon, is award-winning. But yeah, team news, same as last week, is that what
you're saying? Yeah, same team, yeah. So it's the three at the back of...
Who were playing last week? I wasn't here.
Southport. Obviously not on the team sheet, and I don't think he was on the team sheet last week anyway, is Mr. Senior, Joel Senior. He's left the club.
We did the Red Rebel radio show the other night, and I think the one thing we can say is that he's gone for footballing reasons. He wants to play first team football. He's not getting in the squad at this moment in time here, and he's a young lad and he wants to play football, and also he wants to play football in National League North probably, and fair play to him. But you know, he's gone, we crack on, you know, and that's the way we rock and roll in this slightly big game.
And speaking of cracking on, it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's FC Live,
brought to you by
constructivecoding.com.
Not come in yet.
And you lovely people, the armchair army. And it's now time to hand over to expert commentary team for this afternoon's game here on FC Live. And it's Emily Maguire and Swamper. Welcome back, Swamper. You've really upped our game this afternoon.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome everybody around the world, wherever you are. This is Andy Fisher in goal for FC United of Manchester. Danny Morton, number two. Steve O'Halloran, number three. Bob Harris. Whispering Bob Harris, number four. Billy Sass Davis. Did he have an achy breaky heart once? Oh, that was Billy Cyrus. Yes. Chris Lynch at number six, Tom Pearce seven, Josh Wallen number eight, Kurt Willoughby, today's captain, at number nine, Dale Whittam number 10, and Chris Sharp on the number 11. On the bench, it's Bannister, Donoghue, Mohamed, Winter, and Allinson. Right, Simmons. He's controlled it and plays it inside. Now he has the ball returned to him. He should play the ball out wide right, but he was just too slow there. And FC United, Dale Whittam did really, really well. And the ball for Willoughby to chase. Well, he's done enough there, Willoughby. There was no confidence really in Gowland, the captain, putting the ball back to his goalkeeper. And FC have the ball in the final third with Morton. Morton plays a ball left-hand side, nice ball to O'Halloran, great ball to the penalty area. It's an opportunity, FC United goal! Fortuitous to be honest, because the header from the FC player, he headed it against his own player, it came back to him, and Chris Sharp went, oh, here's an opportunity, and he just put it in the back of the net. But he actually headed the ball the wrong way initially. Two players went for it.
And it was a very strange one.
Unless that was done that in training perhaps, and on 10 minutes... FC United take the lead. Emily Maguire, what do you think of that?
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. A really good ball in from O'Halloran. It was the pace on it initially. And again, it was the numbers in the box. And who can react the quickest? Fantastic reaction and deservedly 1-0 up. That'll settle things in the FC camp for sure. You know, getting ahead in this game. But some good work. Yeah, the initial header, it looked a lot more like a defensive one. I think it was Piers. Just nodding it against his own player, but Sharp with a great reation to get on the end of it. Well,
I've had a, as FC United try to track on the just over the halfway line, trying to win the ball back. And the number two, Oates, it's a long clearance. He was put under pressure, and the ball is actually a decent one. The ball flicked into the area. Simmons on the edge of the area. And this should be one all, and it is. And it was dreadful, dreadful defending from FC, because there's no way at all that he should have been given the time and the room to actually be able to do that. As what on earth?
Well, now we know where the segregation.
Fans on the pitch with flares, running onto the pitch, and then throwing them three quarters way onto the pitch, and going back to the football. Poor from FC, really, wasn't it?
It was poor from FC. I thought Hereford worked it well, you know, quick passing. Roberts with first time ball inside was what really put them on the back foot. FC weren't ready for it.
And here come the visitors again. They're on the far side, and the penning FC in at the moment. And they're trying to get down the bet line, and the car is cleared initially by Lynch, but the ball falls again kindly. The ball now with Greenslade, plays it a 1-2 on the right hand side here. Davis marshals his player well. Oates takes over. Oates against O'Halloran. O'Halloran stands with his man. Two players there, O'Halloran and Piers. And eventually the number two gets himself a throw in there. Jimmy Oates did well there. Oates just to keep hold of the ball. The substitute for FC United match is going to be Mike Donoghue. And good pressure rising there initially from FC United, but it falls kindly. First time shot comes, it's a great effort. What a goal. The number nine there with a tremendous, tremendous effort. Elliot Richards absolutely out of nowhere, and FC United, well, they were about to make a substitution. Will they change it now? I don't know. On 56 minutes, 2-1, great finish, but again no one closing down from FC United of Manchester. Well, into the final minute, and over the ball is Kurt Willoughby, and five additional minutes, Willoughby and Wallen over it. That looks like a very, very short 10 yards to me from here. It might be because the players are bigger, I don't know, but it doesn't look like 10. It looks like maybe 9, 8 or 9 at the most. But Willoughby steps up. What can he do?
Yes!
Tell you what he can do. He can put the ball into the back of the net. That's what he can do. Relief, relief, relief. Wow. I don't know whether it got a big deflection.
Nice.
But he's just hit the ball right-footed low,
yep,
across everyone and into the back of the net.
It was fantastic. It's exactly what we needed, you know. Somebody to be composed. It was a good position for the free kick to be in, and it needed to be struck well, and he has done that. Captain's goal.
But he's deserved that. His work rate has been tremendous. His work rate.
His work rate has been unbelievable.
Corner ball, FC. Well, what? We're to the seventh minute of the additional five. Can't the keepers up? Everyone up. Apart from O'Halloran. And he's right, O'Halloran. Well, this will be a fairy tale. Fisher puts a ball into the back of the net. Corner comes in. Who's on the end of it? Keeper gathers it tremendously well. And that is the end of a pulsating last 7 minutes. And FC United, well, they haven't been defeated. It's three on the bounce now, and in that respect, it's something rather than nothing. And it's been a game really where FC United have huffed and puffed and puffed and huffed and not been at the races for a large part of the game. No real great quality, but the introduction of Donoghue, the introduction of Bannister was good, the introduction in the middle of the park, having the likes of Winter there, and it gave a little bit of impetus. The problem we've had is that we've just not been peppering the goalkeeper in any way, shape or form. Paul,
I just feel that in the last two or three games we've shown real urgency in the last 15 minutes or so, but that urgency needed to come sooner, and we wasted a lot of the second half in the wrong gear, and we didn't realise until it was too late that we're 2-1 down and we really have to get something out of this. And three draws in a row is good, but it's not good enough.
It's not, you're right, and as you say, they looked a defeated team to a degree, FC United of Manchester, but they've got something out of nothing really in that respect. I mean, and then the performance, I mean, the man who scores the equaliser for FC, today's captain, Kurt Willoughby, that saving tackle just then from one end of the pitch, he's chased down, he's put a challenge in that could, from a centre forward as well, which normally would result in a penalty. Superb. Yeah. He showed his commitment today, was there.
And he deserved his goal as well, although it probably did take a deflection, but I'm sure he'll claim it for his 16th of the season.
Certainly, and again, you know, it's he's played in the game where he hasn't really done anything in front of goal. His work rate has been all over the pitch,
and that's because of the lack of creativity that we've mentioned.
And I think that has been the key really in the second half, and certainly in the first half, was the middle of the park. The likes of Josh Wallen and the likes of Dale Widge have not really, no creativity between two players that have got creativity, and they just didn't perform in that respect today. We bypassed them.
I think putting the two wide players on in the second half did help, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jack Bannister, I like the way he plays, and I like the we know the qualities of Mike Donoghue, and in that respect they brought a little bit of impetus into the game and worked hard, and it's 2-2, and in that respect we've got something, and we can build on it. The other results,
6 points now to Geiser.
Geiser, you've got to play on against Curzon on Monday as well.
We're slowly gaining on the other clubs, but not
but
quickly
enough. It might be too late. That's the problem. It may well be too late.
So now we have to go and win at Telford.
Oh yeah, how have we normally got on there? Because that's, I mean, this, we thought this was, I mean, this has not been a big game today.
I think we've been lucky to get a cup of tea out of Telford in the past.
Not wrong.
Well, I suppose we need to take a breath, don't we? We need to take a breath, perhaps go to a commercial break, Ben, and then we'll come back, perhaps, when we can all just, breathe.
I'll tell you what I'll do, because
I think a little bit of breathing.
More cup of coffee, audience are expecting us to keep performing for the next half an hour.
Yeah,
so
we will do, but I just don't.
I'll read out the scores.
Full time scores.
Okay. So full time scores from across the National League North. Alfreton 2, Ashton United 0. A big result for FC United. So Ashton United, we've clawed a point back on them now. We're 3 points behind Ashton United now, having played the same number of games. Altrincham 4, 10 Manchester 0. Blyth Spartans 1, Brackley 3. Brackley coming from 1-0 down there to beat Blyth at Croft Park. Boston United 2, AFC Telford 2, Bradford Park Avenue 2, Curzon Ashton 2, Darlington 1, Chorley 1, Guiseley 0, Southport 1. A big, big result that for FC United. So that sees FC United now creeping our way up towards Geisler. The gap is now 6 points. Geisler do have a game in hand, and that game in hand, as Swampy says, is on Monday at Curzon Ashton. Kidderminster 4, Nuneaton 1. That's almost curtains now for Nuneaton. A long way back for them. 17 points to safety for Nuneaton. Leamington 0, York 1, and Stockport 1, Spennymoor 0. So for Stockport winning there and Chorley drawing, that's a big afternoon for County. They closed the gap now to 1 point, and County still have a game in hand as well. And Spennymoor getting beat, very helpful to Stockport as well. So
indeed, yeah, Spennymoor have been a tremendous run, haven't they, as well? Really, really good.
But it's finished here, 2 apiece, and I don't mean to sound like, you know, like we're kicking a can down the road like Theresa May style or something, but we keep saying we need to win, we keep getting draws, and then we keep saying, oh, next week we need to win.
The difference is we've got a plan. We actually know what we're doing. We're trying to get there.
We're running out of games, aren't we?
Look, to get a point out of that game, really, considering I thought how...
Go back to the half-time, though. The 3 points were there, weren't they? Let's be honest.
Well, start of the game, the way that FC played at the beginning, they didn't make the most of this time and space that O'Halloran was allowed to have, and Morton getting forward. They didn't do enough when, you know, we were working as a unit. We didn't do enough then, and then once Hereford, we allowed them back in, and it got all a bit scrappy. And I don't think the changes were made soon enough, because once the changes were made to that midfield and they changed the formation, they did settle into it. They were becoming more creative. We were getting the ball into the box a lot more. But it was, you know, you could tell the atmosphere in the ground and looking around that it had come too late. And then Willoughby gets a goal to get us back at 2-2. Everybody knows we needed a win today. Everybody knows that. The players know that. You can see that in them at the end, how disappointed they are. But you can't expect to come and get the 3 points if you're only going to play for part of the game.
I mean, how many times did you see, you know, Sass Davis or Lynch get the ball and look forward for a pass and then going this no movement.
There's absolutely nobody there. You saw, it was happening with everybody, and I thought, you know, I thought Sass Davis was fantastic today. I thought the things that he was doing and what he was trying to do, you know, he was trying to bring the ball out of, but does the defence, but there's just nothing there.
Does it say a lot that probably Lynch, he certainly had more touches in the first half than any other player. I'm not too sure about the second half, but he had a lot of the ball, and that says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, we said the gap between the midfield and the attack, it was so big. It was easy. It made it easy for Hereford to defend, and made it very difficult for FC's forward to do anything. You know, when you start the game with three front players, you expect your midfield to be creative to bring them in. Looking for long balls.
We saw the game plan, though. It was almost like we thought Hereford's defence wasn't up to much.
Yeah,
and they were going to make mistakes. And that's what, a little bit of pressure from our forwards, and that's what we're talking about. And it was happening, wasn't it? But then kind of just stepped back from that.
Yeah, no, it was almost, you know, once we got the goal ahead, things seemed to change. And I think credit to Hereford, because then they stepped up their game. They were quicker, they moved faster, they closed the ball down a lot more and made it more difficult. But we didn't have an answer, a reply to that, and we allowed them back into the game too early, far too early after scoring one ourselves. We allowed them in, and then it was difficult. It was uphill then from then on, and it was clear watching the game that where it lacked was the distance in the middle of the park. You know, you've got the defenders looking and asking, and inviting somebody to come close. You know, when you have three attacking players and they're putting the pressure on the Hereford defence, that's when you want your midfielder, your central midfielder, to be just coming and dictating the space in front of them. And it never happened. And then the only time that we started to get a little bit, you know, we got back into the game was when they did. They made the changes. We went back to 4-4-2, and we had a lot more of the possession going forward. But we can't.
We didn't match them, did we? Really? Once we scored, we didn't match them in that respect. We allowed them and made it easy for them, rather than us taking the initiative after that one. You know, getting 1-0 up. I mean, as I say, that first. Mr. Neil Reynolds. Neil's about to join us and have a chat to us now. Again, it'll be interesting to get his thoughts, and I'm sure we'll have an open and honest and frank conversation with the man himself. And he joins us now. Careful with that equipment. Cost more than three of our players. thanks very much for joining us, Neil. A game you knew as a manager the importance. You know, the last two games, you know, you've been building a slight momentum. You know, a couple of good draws today. You couldn't really have got to a better start. But what happened after that? Because that first 10 or 15 minutes, I mean, that was like watching the first couple of games with Neil Reynolds in charge. Certainly slightly similar to when we played at Hereford. You must have been really pleased with the opening 10 or 15 minutes.
It's what we worked on all week. You know, we tried to get three attackers on the pitch. We tried to press high. And I said to the lads at half-time, I've had a go at half-time, I'll tell you that now, because they've gone and done what they wanted to do after 20 minutes. And instead of pressing high, the goal comes from, the full-back has no right to turn there because we don't press as a three up top. He gets down here, gets wrong sides of Billy Sass Davis, deliver it, all because our press is wrong. And for 20 minutes, our press is right. And all we've worked on is distances between each other, bringing the back three to here, two wing-backs, two, and then releasing the front men and just stopping them from coming out because we knew that would go long. And we switched off. And then all of a sudden, like a stranglehold, we couldn't get back in the game. I didn't have a leader. I didn't have a voice. I had people doing their own jobs in the first half. So at half-time, I said, I'll give you 5 minutes. And if I don't see you in 5 minutes, I said, you can take it personally if you want. I'll have to change your clientele because we need to get back in the game. We need to win the game. And, you know, we then go 2-1 down. It's an absolute sucker punch. But my mind's made up, and I'm, you know, I made the changes, and, you know, the changes come off. And then for the last half an hour, we're camped in their half and deserve the equaliser.
Yeah, well, I think you're right in saying, certainly from our perspective up here, watching that second half of the first half, it's clear to see there was no leader on the pitch, there was no one putting the foot on the ball, no one pressing, no one really taking any charge, and the gap it was embarrassing a lot of the time, because you've got your three front men, as you say, and you want your midfielders to be working alongside with them, helping them out, and having everyone working as a unit. But there was huge gaps.
So no disrespect to anybody that came off, because it's a squad thing, but I've just said to the lads in the dressing room, it's my fault because I didn't pick him, but the minute I knew Harry Winton was on the pitch, I had a leader. I had somebody who grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck. He's been in indifferent form, he's been full of flu, etc. His attitude's been great. He come on the pitch and I just thought he lifted everybody, and I just thought he got us high up the park, and he dragged people through. And sometimes it's not just about how well you pass the ball and how well you can hit a 30-yard, 40-yard pass. It's about what you do off the ball. And when Harry came onto the pitch, and no disrespect to anybody else, I just thought he'd give us all a lift. And that's what I've just said to the lads in there. You know, his attitude's been great. And, you know, I don't like singling out individuals, but that presence gave us that lift that we needed.
Well, a player today that didn't have a great deal of shooting opportunities, and it didn't go for him, but his work rate and his off the ball, you've mentioned off the ball, his work rate off the ball was absolutely second to none, and he did get his just desserts at the end, because he scores a great goal. Kurt Willoughby, it was, we thought, magnificent through the whole game with the work that he did off the ball opposed to on the ball.
Look what he did with 2 minutes to go when he sprinted all the way back. I know he gave the ball away there, but we talk about what you do off the ball and, you know, your recovery runs, and he's gone all the way back in there, he's won the ball and he's gone all the way back up there, and he was outstanding. I think they're all outstanding. I really do. You know, they're going to have in different forms. There was a lot of nerves going into today's games, and, you know, I build it up that we had to win the game. As it happens, everyone's lost and around us, and it's a point gain on everybody else. It means that, you know, the unlikely task of going to Telford and probably winning, because people will look at that. It may just be realistic now. It's three games unbeaten. You know, there's goals, there's clean sheets in there. I can't, you know, I know people say you're being optimistic, but I can't stop believing until someone tells me it's mathematically impossible. And I've got to say that to the lads, and the lads believe that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we all talk about how important all of these games are. In terms of your preparation now for Telford, we saw the reaction of the players afterwards. You can see the disappointment in them. And a lot of them haven't played to their best. I've seen them play a lot better the last few weeks. How are you going to approach that game? It's not a place that we go to and often come away with the points.
Ever.
So how are you approaching that game? Coming off the back of this, it wasn't a great performance.
No.
How can we turn that around?
I'm going to go and watch them Tuesday night. So I'll bring back the, you know, the what we need to do in training Wednesday, Thursday. And the lads will be in Tuesday. We know they're a threat. They came down here not so long ago, you know, a couple of months ago, and we were lucky not to get something foul on Alisson, and, you know, they go and score 2-1, and there wasn't a great deal in the game, but I don't think there's a great deal in any games that we're playing. We've shown that in every single game, so we're going to go down there confident, you know, and away from home we kind of play this fearless football, and we try and create that at home as well, but for whatever reason there's a little bit of nervousness around, and we've just got to shrug that off, and we've got to go to Telford now and not look at a league table. You know, like I said, respect the opposition, we'll go there with no fear, and nine games to go, and I just keep saying to the lads, don't waste a minute, because you'll never get this time back. So we'll go to Telford next week with an attacking style of play, and don't waste a minute, and let's go and see if we can get a result. But, you know, it could have been a lot worse today. As it happens, we've gained a point on everybody, and a point might be crucial. Everyone's disappointed we haven't won the game, but that point might be crucial, and you never know, and that's got to be the motto that I'm saying, and listening to the fans coming off, everyone's saying the same thing, it's three unbeaten.
Well, as I say, at this stage of the season, it's about fine margins. It's about putting an effort in, putting a shift in, working hard, and try and get something out of it. The one thing, certainly, we obviously take an early lead, and then we get the equaliser right at the end. But throughout the game, did it frustrate you at all that we just didn't really put enough pressure on the goalkeeper in the respect of actually making him make a real save in the game?
Absolutely, and that's what I said. We stopped pressing high, and we knew the frailties is the defensive back line. So to change what we did for the first 20 minutes of the game, I thought it was going to be a cricket score the way we started, and we got the goal. And, you know, you've just got to, you don't get bored of things that work for you. I said that to lads, don't get bored of doing the right things. And unfortunately, when you go into doing your own things, and I'm not being disrespectful to players now, when you go and do your own things and play individually instead of as a collective shape and what we work on, then things go wrong. And if you stick to the game plan, things go right.
With so many experienced players out on that pitch, though, how are they able to maybe undermine, let's say, the good start to the game, the work rate and everything else that you want and you've planned for? How can they just have that mentality of switching off and just doing their own thing? What is it in it with them then to do that?
They've got experience, it's not that leadership quality is missing. That voice, that person to drag you through games and to organise, and you know, it's missing. It's missing out there. And at times when things are going against you, it's that voice to narrow your distances, to get your shape higher, to start getting playing the football 10, 15 yards, and don't go into your individual A games. And I said that's so crucial to work on. And we've worked so hard in training today. How we nullify Simmons and the 10 coming off him, and everything was great in training, and then we let it happen. And it's so frustrating as a manager. But then you see the second half, the last half, and now it's so pleasing as a manager that, you know, Harry Winter fizzes one over the bar, and then Piers then fizzes one over the bar, and there was chances being created. But listen, I can't be pessimistic. I've just got to be optimistic. I've got to say it's a point gained, and we move on to
and the next. And I think we all agree with that. Were you tempted at half-time to actually make the changes at half-time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because obviously when you did make the changes, the impetus was there. Yeah. I thought Bannister and certainly Donoghue were excellent, and obviously the introduction of Harry Winter was really, really good. But again, what stopped you then at half time? You just give the players another 5 or 10 minutes, or does the injury play a part? So you're thinking, right, okay, well, I've got to make the change now for that. Or
we knew we were going to make it on 5 or 6 minutes, but it's what I said at half time. I was trying to get a reaction of some people. Some people have been individually highlighted in the dressing room and needed to be, and some experienced players at that. You know, they needed to come back in and they needed to give a reaction. And you know, it's not fortunate because no one wants to see Dale get injured, but then he forces the matter. And then I thought the other two changes was, you know, sacrifice the third centre half and we'll go with four. But we went with an attacking lineup. We went with three strikers in there, and for whatever reason, it worked for 20, and then it didn't work for the next, you know, for the next 30. So we had to make the changes. But when you've got likes of Bannister and Donoghue on the bench who can change games, and they have done, then you know they put themselves in the window for next Saturday.
And what's interesting, I suppose, as well, is the fact that you've got the likes of Sharpie, who obviously is good in the air. And he's actually delivering balls rather than being in the penalty area in the first half, trying to, you know, create something when you want him there. And the introduction of both Bannister and Donoghue, they're the kind of players that Sharp needs to be in the penalty area getting onto.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've hit the nail on the head. I can't say any more. I highlighted the opportunity in the first half, and Piers and Sharp are down here with Danny Morton and Josh Wallen, and we've got one man in the box. And I want Josh Wallen to go and play with Danny Morton. Danny Morton delivers, and then you've got 3 or 4 red shirts going at it. And there are things that people aren't retaining information. Believe it or not, we didn't set up with any of the front three to be outside the 18-yard box today. That for 25 minutes in the first half, they were only outside the 18-yard box. So as a manager, it's frustrating. But you know, as a player out there, you're chasing the game, you're trying to make things happen, and you go and do that, you become a little bit undisciplined. But that's work in progress. And you know what they haven't done, they haven't given up on each other today, and they've got the point. And you know, I'm delighted with the point. I'm devastated with a woman. I'm delighted with the point at the same time. And, you know, we've got to go to Telford now and do what we've got to do.
Well, listen, as always, it's great talking to you. Thanks for your open honesty about all things FC United and Manchester, and, you know, the frustration it must be to be a manager and see players perform and then dip and not perform. But as always, it's great speaking to you. We'll speak to you again on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Good luck on Tuesday.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'll be listening in.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Saturday.
You know I'm going to Telford.
He's going to Telford on Tuesday. I might stay another night. I go to Telford, so I don't have to do it on Saturday instead.
Sure. Anyway,
well, they're the tones and the thoughts of Neil Reynolds, FC United's manager. And I think, you know what? Which sometimes people say on this radio station we talk nonsense. However, when we interview managers, they say pretty much what we said after the whole game, so we do know what we're talking about, right? On occasion,
we don't.
Now and
well,
then.
You might not.
Now
then.
And then we get it right.
You might not.
No, I was talking to the Facebook.
Oh, I see. Wishy-washy liberal. Anyway,
has it been nice being back?
Yeah, so it's lovely coming back. You never want to be away, in all fairness, but it was a game, really. That first 10 or 15 minutes, I thought, goodness gracious, we are going to absolutely pepper them. Because there was some good football, but as we discussed in commentary, it became very disappointing, and he was despondent with a lot of the things that the players were doing on the pitch in that second part of the first half. But no, you're here at Broadhurst Park, you get to see friends, comrades, you get to commentate on football, and what can be better, really? Apart, not a lot.
Well, we'll see you in a month's time.
Probably around April, actually.
For the survival running.
I'm back over my son's. And my son and his partner are about to have a baby girl the end of April, so I'm going to maybe do 10-15 days here and catch a couple of FC games if I can. I just want to say also, just by the way, I'd like to say a big congratulations to Dave Anderson at Chertsey Town, ex-AFC Wimbledon manager, who was the manager when FC United played against them in 2005 in the semi-final of the FA Vars. They play that other team, like a franchise,
Vicks.
Yeah, they played the Vicks. They're playing this in the semi-final. So good luck to him.
Wasn't that today?
No.
Sure, it's today, isn't it?
No, it was only last week. They played the quarters.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think they play the semis this week. No, they're also top of the division.
FA Vars isn't my strong point, to be honest.
Now there's commentating.
Well, on that note, that is the end of FC Live. It's good having you back.
Yeah, so.
Is there light? I mean, so it's 6 points now to Geisler. We do have Nuneaton coming up as well.
It's
Alfreton.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Darlington.
It's a big ask. Coming into the game today, I would have said, you know, you have to win. We needed the 3 points, and anything less was not going to be good enough. But you look around us and you think, well, okay, other teams have dropped points. It gives us that bit of hope that it's not impossible. So you've got to keep pushing and keep believing that it can happen. There's players out there that are good enough. And speaking to the manager, you know, it's always good to see that he's got the right mindset, he's got the right thoughts, and he's doing the right things.
We always have to read out.
Close on this.
This is from Rick in Leicester. Oh, Leicester's correspondent. We speak to a lot. He puts a point across saying, isn't it the case that this manager cannot get the current group of loanees to win, so we must end his positive hype and ask a different coach to deliver Route 1 attack and finish?
No.
No, I'm reading it out. I mean, it's a genuine question, and it should be answered. And I think Rick, to be honest, I think we did go Route 1 quite a lot today, and that was the downfall really for quite last parts of the game. I think we've got the right manager in. I know it doesn't seem like this at this moment in time. However, we've known him for a long time, and the clubs he's always got it right.
The key is we haven't got the players for Route 1.
Well, we don't have a big squad.
Since Dickinson's gone. And that was August.
Was he ever here?
Well, it was August, I was going to say. And it's just not going to happen. You might as well. I mean, we're already at 50 odd players. Let's not get.
I think we're building obviously at hope to stay in this division, but we're building for next season. I would suggest maybe 4, 5, 6 of these players won't be here next season at FC United of Manchester. But the likes of Bannisters, the likes of Donoghues, these are the kind of players, tricky, good quality players with a good solid defence, and you'll see the very best of what Neil Reynolds can bring to FC United of Manchester next season. And, you know, in parts we've had some really enjoyable football that he's helped provide. But as he said in that interview, you know, if players switch off, if they work all week on training, it's working, they know exactly what they're doing, and they decide themselves to change it and not adhere to the way they should be playing, there's nothing you can do as a manager. You can shout all the instruction in the what you want, but if they're not taking any notice, you have to do it at half time. And, you know, leaders on the pitch. And for me, I mean, I played in a team that were just full of shouters, but it was all positive communication. And if you weren't doing your job, you got an absolute rollicking. It was the Sunday league.
You get absolutely
rollicking. The one thing we've seen in FC over the seasons, many, many seasons, is that it's always been a very quiet team. And whoever's been the manager, it's been quiet. There are a couple of people like Chaddy and like Rory Patterson, Dave Brown. These were players that actually had that mentality of not being afraid to scare the living daylights out of their own players by shouting at them and telling them what they should be doing on the football pitch. Because, you know, you've got, as the captain, your responsibility is to take on board the information from the managers, all the other players. But if it's not happening, you've got to tell your players. Now, Willoughby, who's captain today, he performed exactly as the manager wanted. He did everything he could today, and he got that equalising goal. But players need to take things on board, work to a pattern of play, and if they don't do that, you're going to have major problems. So I don't believe in the Route 1. I don't think we need a different coach. I think we've got the right person in, the right management staff people behind him, and we go again, and we look forward to another game of football
at Telford.
If we stay up, it's in our, and if we go down, we've got many years of football ahead of us, you know. And in a perverse way,
no, I know what you're going to say, let's not go there. Thank you to Swampy, thank you to Emily, thank you to Woodzo and Stato Paul as well. But this has been FC Live, brought to you by constructivecoding.com and the Armchair Armour. It's finished 2 apiece, and as footballers like to say, we go again.
I know, I just said that, and I hate that saying.
We'll go again.
I did that. You know, in mind, I just had Tom Greaves on my mind there. And
no,
basically,
let's say it. We go again. Come on, say it with meaning this time.
I'm not saying it yet.
We go again. Yeah.
Well, you might go again. I'm going to go to Telford. No.
No. We go.
No, we don't go again. What do you mean we go? No, because we don't want to go again like that.
We play another 90 minutes at some point in the future.
We're not going again. We're going to another game. We're not going again. If we go again, that's no. We're not. We're just going to like today. It was a big game. How big was it? Was it really that big?
We start afresh.
We care a lot.
Anyway,
we care a lot.
Take care, everyone. Bye bye.
Yeah, it's all the very best, everybody.
See you at Telford.
Yeah, see you in Brussels.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's 2-2 draw with Hereford. It's back on the road for FC United this Saturday as FC travel to Shropshire to take on AFC Telford United. The address for the ground is the new Buck's Head Stadium, Watling Street, Wellington, Telford, TF1 2TU. That's the new Buck's Head Stadium, TF1 2TU. Kick-off this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.